That brings me to chapter 4, and the title I have for this chapter is, For Such a Time as This. Now, when Mordecai learned all that was done, Mordecai tore his clothes, put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the center of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. Came before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. My, what a performance. This man, he gets in sackcloth and ashes. No prayer, but there's sackcloth and ashes. Why? He believes that decree. He knows that decree is accurate. He knows that decree can't be changed. And so he believes. Now, friends, there's come out from God a decree. Actually, the world today as a whole doesn't believe it. And that decree that's come out from God is, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And all have sinned and come short of righteousness. We've come short of the glory of God. We've come short of that. We don't meet His standard at all. And even the dying thief on the cross said to the other, he said, we indeed justly. This man dying next to us, this wasn't for him. He's dying in another's place. But we indeed justly. You and I deserve death because we belong to the human race in which it said, in Adam all die. And death is passed upon all men because all have sinned. We sinned in Adam. Death's passed on us. And even the little baby will die. And it's appointed unto man once to die. And after death, the judgment. Now, there's a great many people today think that's been altered. They think that's been changed. They think that somehow or another that God's become soft and he's become sentimental. And that God is not able to go through with it. That, after all, he just loves everybody. And he does. You can't change that. But he'll never save you by his love. He saves you by grace. By grace are you saved. And today the decree has never been changed. I had this experience. I had a Bible class down in Escondida. And one of the young people there, and there were quite a few young people attending those classes. And actually, in some of those classes, many of them look like the hippie group. But they're interested in the Word of God. And they sent up a question, for I spent the first part of the hour answering questions. And the question this girl sent up, she says, I wrote a paper and gave it to my teacher on why Christ had to die. And the teacher said that the Bible does not teach. Let me read her question. I have it here. I wrote a term paper about why people don't accept Christ. My teacher said that the Bible says people are not sinful. May I say to you that I know that we've got a lot of teachers today that are Christian. But we got a lot, my friend, that are not only not Christian, they're just ignorant of the Bible. And I don't mind a teacher not being a believer, but to be so ignorant of the Bible, you'd make a statement like that. The Bible does say that you're sinners. And you and I belong to that kind of a race. That has never been changed. And if you want a proof of it, why, read your paper and see what's happening in the world today. These are not a nice group of little Sunday school people today that are lying, that are stealing, that are murdering, that are holding up folk on the street, and it's not even safe for person to walk on our streets today. Why isn't it? Is it because that we've got such fine, nice, lovely people that this is happening? No. We're all a bunch of sinners. Every one of us. We belong to that race. And God says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. My friend, that decree's never been changed. You've got to have another decree to overcome it. And somebody says, well, what about keeping the law? Let me say this. The scripture says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Are you prepared to say that you obey all of God's law? I don't think there's any person today that would make a statement like that unless they're totally ignorant of what the Word of God has to say. Be as ignorant as that school teacher was that would make an asinine statement like that. My friend, you can disagree with the Bible, but you just are in no position to say that the Bible doesn't say that people are sinners. That's what it's all about. That's the reason Christ came. He said he came into the world to save sinners. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners. You know why he said he didn't come to call the righteous? Because there are none righteous. He came to call a human family because they're all sinners, and he offers the only salvation today. No man cometh to the Father but by me, he said. Now will you notice in verse 3, and let me read it. And in every province, wherever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews. And they believed it, you see. They believed that decree. And fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. But do you notice? No prayer. Why? They're out of the will of God. You see, Cyrus has made a decree according to the will of God. They're to return back to their land. And they haven't returned back. They're out of the will of God. So in this state, they're not apt to pray to God. Now, Esther is the queen, and she feels perfectly safe and secure as the queen. And notice what she does. Verse 4, so Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved. She's embarrassed. Her stepfather's out there in sackcloth and ash and walking up and down and moaning and wailing and groaning. And she is embarrassed. So what does she do? She sent raiment to clothe Mordecai to take away his sackcloth from him, but he accepted it not. You see, she felt very secure, so she sent the raiment of the court. It was gay and gaudy, expensive and fine, bright colors. Mine must have sent him one of these big wide neckties and a coat with wide lapels. But you see, all the bright colors and new clothes will not change the king's edict. It'll not change the decree that's gone out. And it won't remove the stigma. And you know, today, there are a great many people deal with sin in many different ways. They try the gaudy clothes method. One is like the teacher we referred to last time, just to say the Bible doesn't say man is a sinner. And I don't know how you can make a statement like that, but apparently this is a teacher, and there are some teachers that make some unusual statements these days. And this happens to be one of them. Now, there's another method that's used. There are a great many that put on the gaudy clothes of Reformation. They say that, after all, sin is just an error, and it's a little mistake, and we'll just try to sort of cover up, you see. And it's just something that we can just reform, and that method is used. Someone has said that the modern pulpit today is become a place where a mild-mannered man gets up before a group of mild-mannered people and he urges them to be more mild-mannered. And friends, I can't think of anything more insipid than that today. No wonder the world has passed by the church. We don't need reforming. We need regeneration. We need to be born again. This man Nicodemus was religious, but our Lord said to him, ye must be born again. We need a new nature because we got a sinful nature, and that sinful nature is not going to heaven, friends. You have to come to Jesus Christ. And if you go to heaven, you're going to go into heaven because you've trusted the one who died for you and took your place and's already paid the penalty of your sin. You can have it if you want it, but you'll have to accept it. Then there's another kind of gaudy clothes that people wear, known as education. They say sin is selfishness. You just got to educate folk and train them. I know that when I was a little fellow growing up, I had a sister. She's younger than I was. My dad would bring home a sack of candy, gumdrops in those days, and he'd tell me I had to divide it with her. And I always took the first piece. And she protested because sometimes it came out and I took the last piece. That always gave me one more than she had. And so a rule had to be made that one time she would take it first, the next time I would take it first. And so sometimes I, you know, changed that just a little and took the first gumdrop. Well, may I say that all the instruction and all the education never kept me from being selfish, I'll tell you that. And don't try to kid me, it didn't help you either. Now, religion is another way. You know, sin is ignorance. You just must turn to God, and you've got a little spark inside of you, and the spark needs fanning into flame. Many years ago, Dr. Shaler Matthews, University of Chicago, came up with this definition of sin. And think this one over for a while. Sin is the backward pull of an outworn good. My friend, if you take away all the modifiers, it's sin is good. And that's what religion finally winds up telling you. May I say to you that you need a new garment. You need the righteousness of Christ. That is the only thing today that will enable us to stand before God. So this man, Mordecai, is not even about to accept any gaudy clothes from his daughter who's on the throne, who's the queen. But when those clothes came back, she knew it was something serious. That it wasn't some little minor something that had happened. Then call Esther for Hatash, one of the king's chamberlains whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to learn what it was and why it was. She wants answers to some questions. What has caused you to put on sackcloth and ash, and why are you doing it? She wants to know. And so Hathach went forth to Mordecai and to the street of the city. The queen couldn't have done that, as you would well understand. And that was Mordecai out before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasures for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to explain it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make requests before him for her people. And Hathach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And so he presents the writing. He said, take this decree in. Here it is in writing. Let her see it. And God has given us his word. And I wish that teacher that said the Bible doesn't say man is a sinner would read the Bible. Wouldn't hurt her to read the Bible, and as she did, to read the Word of God, and you'll find out God tells you you're a sinner. The decree is here. It's in the Word of God. Now, that word's brought to Esther. Again, verse 10, again Esther spoke unto Hathach, gave him commandment unto Mordecai, saying, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king and to the inner court, who is not called, as one law of his to put him to death. In other words, no one dared come into the presence of the king without an appointment. And if you did, you'd be put to death. Now, she makes it very clear here. Except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. And if the king just sat there and didn't lift that golden scepter and someone came in like that, they'd be taken out and executed. They'd be taken out and hanged. And the king wouldn't have to even open his mouth. All he'd have to do is just not lift that scepter. And now she says, but I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. I don't know what the score is. I don't know whether I should go in or not. Now Mordecai puts it on the line. Listen to him. They told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Listen to this now. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. Don't think you are secure, Queen Esther, just because you're in the palace and you're the queen, because this decree touches you. Now, you must remember there had been another queen, and a decree had been made to set her aside. She'd been set aside. And Esther might take warning from that, might be a lesson to her, that if she thinks the decree would protect her, she's wrong. That decree is that all Jews are to be slain, and she'll be slain. And Mordecai puts it on the line. Now he continues, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their relief and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." And I pause just a moment. What other place? I'd love to have been there and ask Mordecai, what other place, Mordecai, would deliverance come from? Would deliverance come from the north or the east or the south or the west? No other place. This man's the world ruler. He's a dictator. And there's not a person on top side of the earth that could deliver her and these people. Who's going to deliver these people? Well, he said, if Esther doesn't move, and she's there, I think Mordecai now detects that the hand of God's been moving. She's there for a purpose. But he says, if you don't, deliverance will come from another quarter. Where? The only other place is above. And this is the closest thing to a reference to God that you have in this book. Deliverance will arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows? Well, God by his providence, and that's obvious now. God by his providence has been moving. He's prepared for this event. God knows what's coming. And that's the reason, friends, that you and I can trust him. We're not putting our hand in one today and trusting one today that has the power to hold us. And he has that. But he knows what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. He knows, and you can trust him. Now, will you notice this? All right, listen to Esther now. I want to say that Mordecai is becoming a noble man in my estimation. I'm sorry I said what I did about him, but at that time, he was just the kind of man I think that he was, and I said he was, but now he's revealing that he's taking a stand for God. He's willing to die for God. Now listen to Esther, and she's going up in my estimation too. Then Esther told them to return Mordecai this answer. Listen to this. These are the words of a noble woman. Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. Why doesn't she say pray? Because they're out of the will of God. Like Jonah on that boat, nothing said about praying, you see. He's out of the will of God. He shouldn't be there. Hard to pray when you're out of the will of God. And so we find here that she just says fast. And I think that prayer went with it, though. But it's not mentioned. She wouldn't dare mention it. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. Now listen to her. And if I perish, I perish. She's willing now to die. And I want to say to you that she now reveals the fact that she's a very noble person. And though out of the will of God, she's now going to be faithful. And again, I have to say it. Let's you and I let God determine who's going to be faithful and who are the faithful ones. Too many of the saints today are trying to judge everybody. Now, let's move on. So Mordecai went his way, and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now, what's going to happen?